Blog Talk Radio.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. Then you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. But wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways, fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning a used me. Ironic, cause I think I'm getting so huge, I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think, cause I'm
friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy. Well, that's not fair.
Of a poet, but I know somebody once told me to seize the moment and don't squander it. Cause you never know when it all could be over tomorrow, so I keep conjuring.
Sometimes I wonder where these thoughts come from.
Yeah, ponder it, do you want? Cause no one you can lose in your mind the way it wanders.
I think you've been wandering off down yonder and stumbled on to Japan
pondering. Cause I need an interventionist to intervene between me and this monster and save me from myself and all this conflict. Cause of everything that I love killing me and I can't conquer it. My OCD talking me in the head, keep knocking. Nobody's home, I'm sleepwalking. I'm just relaying what the voice in my head saying. Don't shoot the messenger, I'm just
friends with
the one day that I walk amongst you a regular civilian. But until then, Trump gets killed and I'm coming straight at MC's blood gets spilled and I'm taking back to the days that I get on a Dre track, give every kid who got played that pump the feeling and shit to say back to the kids who played them. I ain't here to save the fucking children, but if one kid out of 100 million who are going through a struggle feels it and relates that, great, it's payback. Russell Wilson falling way back in the draft, turn nothing into something, still can make that. Draw in the gold dump, I will spin Rumpelstiltskin in a haystack. Maybe I need a straight jacket, face facts, I am nuts for real, but I'm okay with that. It's nothing, I'm still
friends
with
the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy. I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head.
Watching the taxi driver, he pulls away. She's been locked up inside her apartment 100 days. She says, yeah, he's still coming, just a little bit late. He got stuck at the laundromat washing his cape. She's dressed watching the clowns roll by and they spell her name like Lois Lane, and she smiles all the way she smiles. She's talking to angels, counting the stars, making a wish
one half of the tag team champions, along with my partner Tommy, or Mega King Tommy Wilson, and we are connected, as well as IWF, which is located in Arizona, which is the International Wrestling Federation, and a new promotion that's striking up and has a TV series, which is Paragon Pro Wrestling, which is PPW. They're affiliated with WCWC, which is located in Oregon.
Wow, that's kind of like all around the West Coast. You're not kidding. So let me ask you, like, what started you to like wrestling?
Well, you know what? I've always been a wrestling fan my entire life. I mean, for me as a kid, I go back to the AWA, NWA, and the Road Warriors were definitely a major effect to me. Hogan and the feud that he had with Nick Bockwinkel. I can remember when my mother would turn off the TV and I'd be crying and she's like, what's wrong? It's like, Nick Bockwinkel cheated Hogan again and, you know, just things like that, man. I mean, I remember when, you know, what attracted me to wrestling the most is that these guys were bigger than life characters. I mean, they had the capes and the feathered boas and the sparkles and the streamers, and these guys were bigger than life, you know what I mean? And it was just one of those things as a kid. You know, I looked and seen a lot of these guys, and I looked like them. You know, there were those who were absolutely ripped up and everything else, but then there was people like Vader, and then there was people like King Kong Bundy, Typhoon and Earthquake, you know, Big Boss Man. I mean, these people I look like. So, you know, Kamala. So for me, you know what I mean, Papa Shango, for me, these are the people that I gravitated to.
Oh, okay, that is a very good list. As for, like, size and stuff like that, so in your opinion, like how much do you weigh? Let me ask that question first.
My actual weight is around about 320. My build weight is 375.
Oh, okay, so you are, like, a big guy, because I know, like, there are a lot of big guys I know that can, like, move around the ring, and I take it that you can move around the ring as good as the next guy as well. So what would you say about, like, people that got, like, big physiques, but they think that, but they, you know, the ones that, like, starting out in the wrestling business, like, what would you have to say to them?
Well, I would tell anybody that's definitely a bigger guy, it's definitely not easy, because especially if you have height to go with size. I mean, you know, because the difference is, you know, not a lot of guys are going to be your size. A lot of people that you face are going to be up there in size with you. So you're going to end up training, just saying in training, you're going to train with small guys, and you're going to learn the small way of wrestling. And it's hard to truly learn how to be a big man when all you train with are small guys to medium guys. It's not until you get an opportunity to work bigger guys that are older, that have many years in the business, or you have a trainer that understands the concept of what a big man is and teach you those effects of being what a big man. You know, when it comes to moving around in the ring, I would tell anybody, you know, as a big man, the biggest thing that you can have is great feet and great ring awareness. Your feet is basically your survival. Being able to have great feet and being able to move around is one of the most amazing things that you can do. And because of my athletic background, I mean, I played basketball, I played football, I was a professional football player. I've trained all my life. I was also in track and field. So, you know, I have a broad spectrum of athletic accomplishments and athletic things that I did, which enabled transfer easily into the ring. So it's not as hard for me to move around as such as, you know, other guys.
Right. That would be a good advice to say. So, but like, because you know, you got big guys that's in the business today, like the likes of Brock Lesnar, Big Show, and just to name a few and stuff like that. So, were any of them guys would like inspire you, like to, be like, oh, this is how I'm going to have my moveset be like, or this is who I'm going to, like, study on to be like, or anything like that?
Well, you know what, believe it or not, a lot of my initial work when I first kind of, like, really got going, a lot of the movement of the big monster type kind of came from Kane when he was actually Isaac Yankum. And something I used to look at, different things that he used to do and movements and the stalking ability. So I kind of picked and choose from different times and different eras. You know, you have the Undertaker when he initially came in and he didn't speak and he was an actual dead man, that he completely used the urn as his power to move and so on and so forth. So that is what kind of, I mean, some of the things that I do. But I think a lot of the my
still there? Hello? I think we kind of lost the call there. We do apologize. It could be on this end here, so hopefully if you get a chance, try to call back and just get to that. Let's see. Probably just going to wait a minute to have him call back. And yeah, I think the call drop could be from our end. Just let me see if I can. Okay, he is back. So let me just get him back in there. And I apologize. It could be from my end. So go ahead and continue with the answer.
I was just saying, with the Road Warriors and the way they entered the ring, you know, they were extremely vicious. And when they came in, it was such power and explosion that, you know, it was none the like. You know, everybody else kind of felt their way around. I mean, these guys came in, and it was just 100% from start to finish, you know. And then you could tell they left everything right there in the middle of the square circle, and you can't beat that. You know, the difference I would say now between, you want to say then and now, is the entertainment factor. You know, remember, people paid hard-earned money to be entertained, not to be amused. They want to be entertained. They want to see the story of your body. They want to see the clash of the big men, the high flyers do their thing. And then I look at professional wrestling or a wrestling show. If you think about it, it's like a variety show. If you can remember back in the day, at a variety show, you had a song, you had a dance, you had a skit, you had comedy, you had so many different things. Well, I think a lot of times with wrestling shows miss is that it's okay to have different style matches and different type matches. If you sat there for 10 matches and you've seen the same thing over and over again, wouldn't you be bored?
That is a good point. Very good point. What would you say compared to, you know, like wrestling independent and depends on wrestling with, you know, companies like WWE? So, in your opinion, what would be the difference between the two?
I would say the biggest difference, you know, in any style of wrestling, I mean, you have more freedom to kind of create and do what you want to do. Stories are given to you and there's a bullet point, but at the same token, you have nobody really just kind of guiding and aging your match. It's kind of like, you know, whatever guy has the most experience, you know, you guys kind of put different things together and then you go out there and you perform to the best of your ability. What I enjoy about working for PPW is it's set up like a mainstream company. You have a producer, you have writers, you have agents, and they give you a direction and what they want to see and what they want to happen and which way you want to go. So now you can kind of fill in the blanks. You don't have to think of everything from start to finish. They kind of have bullet points for you to touch and different things for different ways for you to go, and then it's just ran first class. You know what I mean? And everything is taken care of for you where you don't really have to worry about it. You know, whereas, and like I said, again, with the indies, yeah, you get a little bit more creative, I should say. But then at the same token, if you're telling the story, will the people be able to accept and react to what they're seeing? Will they be able to enjoy it? I mean, in your head, it looks great. And with your partner, it looks great. It sounds great. But then you can go out there and perform it and hear cricket. You know what I mean? And they've done 90 million right. different moves, and it looks absolutely insane. And if you get oohs and ahs, but don't nobody remember the match. And then, you know, two other guys can go out there and do something as simple as an arm bar or a headlock story or a simple story, and the people are losing their minds and they're getting up out of their seats and like, oh, my God, you know, did you see him when he finally body slammed him? Or did you see him when he finally did this? And they remember something so simple, but they won't remember this match that was absolutely extravagant and had all these major moves and death-defying things. You know, if you can't tell something simple, then you can't tell something extravagant. You know, and one thing in the industry, and I hope a lot of guys can hear me, a lot of people can understand, when they say less means more, less means so much more.
Oh, okay. So probably for people, some people that probably don't get that. Like, what you mean by less equals more? Well, what you were just saying.
What I mean by it is that, you know what, sometimes, you know, you don't have to, if, hear me out when I say it. If you guys are working, call it 3 or 4 matches down the line, well, you don't have to give them everything in just one. You know, let's work together and tell them a meaty story, and then it means something in the end when you do something. That's like, you know, I watch so many guys, they do some type of springboard backflip something or other. You know what I mean? And it's depth-defying. Mm-hmm. It looks amazing. But question, did you really need it, or could you just really simply gave the guy a regular drop kick and it meant more? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and these are things sometimes I think at performers we miss.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying. So just, like, having somebody, like, remember what happened, then just, like, you did something, then they'll forget it. Then oh, okay. So, yeah, I get that.
Exactly. I can tell you, like, I can tell you what I'm talking about. You know, a lot of people, for those people who are old like myself or older, the one match that they stand out in their mind is you think about Ric Flair and Sting. That's one of the greatest matches that was ever performed, and all they did was hip tosses and arm drags, and they did nothing else.
Oh, okay.
Two moves.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. And I
and
don't
they
think
went out and entertained.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You know
I
what
get
I mean?
What you're saying. Yeah, I do. And that is a good point to mention, too, as well. Speaking of which, what were your, like, who trained you to be a wrestler?
Oh, man, I've had a beautiful opportunity to be with a lot of great minds in the industry. You know, you start out and you had, some people don't know some of these gentlemen, but I'll label anywhere, you had OBW and Nick Dinsmore training him along with Al Snow, who actually trained him and gave him the tools while he was at OBW. And, you know, he had came down here to Vegas, originated from, which is a brilliant elite, which a lot of people don't know is why I originally started. And, you know, he came in, man, and took me under his wing and gave me a lot as well, Antonio Maestre. And these are my first trainers, you know, and they were great at what they did. But to get me further in the true advancement of training, you had Michael Modest, who has been around forever and ever and a day. Michael Modest has trained me as well as in California. I went to a school of hard knocks, which is Jesse Hernandez for Empire Wrestling Federation, as well as Sin Bodhi. And Bodhi has done a lot with me as far as an understanding and psychology of the game, as well as, you know, Dito Brown has had a touch with me. And Kenny King, when he's in town, he helps, you know, with some of my training and logic of what I'm doing.
Oh, okay. Seems like some big names that trained you, so that has to be good. Is there anything that you learned what you should do and what not to do?
You know what? There's a lot of different things that you learn that you should do. As me being a big man, there's a lot of things that, you know, I cannot do because of size. You know, there's certain things I shouldn't do because of size. Unless, you know, what I was taught was, unless I'm wrestling Big Show, Undertaker, Kane, well, there's nobody's going to toss me around or throw me around off my feet. So that's something you don't really see me do. But I'll work with those who's there. We'll work for those opportunities. Things that I should do. It's definitely being aggressive and having a face, whether heel or whether face, is having that ability to connect with the crowd, whether I'm gaining sympathy or as a face, or I'm being extremely vicious as a heel. If you had to say which one do I prefer, I love them both. You know, being able to have the ability to either make people cheer you or make people boo you is a definite gift to those. You know, and I hope a lot of other guys say, when they say that it factor, the it is being able to entertain. You have to be able to, at the end of the day, we're in this industry to entertain. You know what I mean? If you don't have the ability to entertain, if you have dry charisma or no charisma, or, you know, if you have, you know, you can have the ability to do everything, but if you don't have the ability to entertain, then you've missed the boat.
Okay, yeah, so I know everybody going to want to be out there and everybody go to the shows and stuff and be entertained, so that is a good point. The years that you have wrestled so far, like, what were your accomplishments that you had?
I've gotten a great opportunity with Future Stars of Wrestling. I was their champion for almost 2.5 years, which was an amazing feat in itself. I got a chance to wrestle people to the likes of Kevin Nash. I've gotten to wrestle, you know, Chris Masters, Lance Hoyt, Brian Cage, who's hot right now in the industry.
Right.
I've got a chance to work with Willie Mack, who's done well in AAA, and he's really well on the West Coast. Sean Ricker, who actually went down to NXT, and then, you know, he's back on the anything. So, you know, I've gotten around that aspect as well as wrestling for Jesse Hernandez down at EWF, and them giving me and my tag partner an opportunity to be their tag champion this past year after they had a great tag team, the Fallen Empire, hold on to it for a year themselves. So, I mean, it's those opportunities that's awesome. For me, more than anything, it's you know, more so than any accomplishment that you can get bars in with, you know, belts and championships, which we all want because that's the pinnacle of our business. But being able to go and actually loosely steal the show and lead people with oohs and ahs is something that I take pride in. You know, I've had matches where, you know, we go out and you know what, we have chance. This is awesome. You know what I mean? And sometimes those are more than the accolades that you get from your own peers. So, you know, that's when you know you're doing your job well, and that's what I get. You know, I get my most fulfillment is when you can get a crowd to either chant "Let them fight" or "This is awesome" or "Oh my God," in so many words. You can't say that on the radio, but you know what I mean.
Right, exactly. What will be next for, or what will be the future of Tyshawn Prince?
Well, you know what, the evolution of me, I would be wrong to say, hey, not to say I don't want to go to WWE, because I got an opportunity to sign a contract, developmental contract with WWE 3 years back, but I chose to be dad because my babies were just, you know, turning two. And, you know, I had twin boys, and I felt that they were more important and they were my responsibility. So now that they're older, if I got an opportunity to go back with WWE, absolutely. But, you know, the goal right now really is just constantly push that name out there, constantly work hard, get my name out there, and travel to the West Coast, as well as get to Japan. I want to get down to Mexico some, get overseas, and just constantly push the brand. I'm always on social media. I'm always talking and expressing how I feel and trying to get people to notice indie wrestling. I think I'm just about on as many social networks as you can possibly have, and just trying to constantly push not only myself but indie wrestling. I feel that a lot of people miss the boat on these indie shows, and I say this, you know, not everybody can go and get that opportunity to get to WWE, but a lot of these guys and girls out here that are working their butts off to entertain the masses, go see it, go enjoy it. Even though you can't get to WWE, enjoy the next best thing. I guarantee you'll have a great time when you go out and see these things. One of my goals is to get up to Canada. I'm talking to you. I'm trying to make my way out there, baby.
Okay, because I know some people in Canada are watching this, so I will listen to this. So I guess they're going to keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
Right, exactly. So I guess one of your things you want to do, like, get up there in Canada, so, like, what you got to say to some of the ones that, you know, maybe listening to you right now?
Well, I have this to say to any of the promoters. You know what? There's one thing about Tyshawn Prince. He comes in to do the job. Whatever the job is, that's asked of me. It doesn't matter about winning nor losing nor character nor this. It's about entertaining. If you're looking for a big man that can move and that's going to put on a show and give you what you need, give me a call. Give me a call. Look me up on Facebook at Tyshawn Prince. Inbox me. I'm ready to show the world what this big man can do. Not many people can say this or want this, but one thing I want to say is that I will be remembered as one of the best big men to lace a pair of boots before it's all said and done.
Okay, and I think we got time for, like, one more question. I was just wondering, like, were there any, like, promotions out there that you would want to work with, like, that's on the West Coast that you haven't worked with yet?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely Guerrilla Pro Wrestling. I would like to get to AWS. You know, there's also the Santino Brothers that, you know, I've talked to many of the guys there I'm friends with, I've worked with. You know, I really try to get down to Santino. Championship Hollywood of Wrestling. I mean, me and Angelo, we go back and our schedule keeps getting off, but love to get back out there with them. Definitely up to Hood Slam with my boys, the Stoner Brothers. and Sheikata Bobby, and try to work my way out to Reno up there with the Reno Scum and the promotion that they have out in Reno. So, you know, again, you know, just trying to get out there with as many guys as I can and work with as many as I can, and any promotion that's available and is interested, inbox me. I'm always available for any opportunity.
Okay, and I appreciate you giving us this time to interview you, and thank you for being on the show.
Absolutely. I hope I answered any and all questions. I know I'm a little long-winded when it comes to certain things, but I can tell you one thing. I am very excited about what I do. I love this opportunity. I don't look at this as a job. It's a privilege and an honor to do it. So many people have paved that way, and it's a privilege and an honor to entertain the masses. And for those who come to watch Josh and Prince, all I hope is I make sure you get your money's worth.
Exactly. And like I said, thank you for the time, and hopefully we'll probably interview you more pretty soon.
Absolutely. And you know what? Thank you for this opportunity to give me a chance to talk, even entertain and speak with you. It was amazing. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and I appreciate it very much so.
Oh, no problem. I will talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And to all y'all listening, y'all have a wonderful evening and a better day tomorrow.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye. What a great, great interview, I would have to say. So I think this is one of the best ones I ever have. So, and I know some of y'all that's probably, like, listen to it right now, probably listen to, like, after the 30 minutes of the show. So I think that was one of the great interviews that I've done so far. So that's pretty good. But I'm going to get out of here. I know if y'all tuned in Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, I get to interview the Heart Attack Kid, Joseph Andrews. So hopefully y'all catch up on that. And don't forget, we got the WrestleMania post show that's going to happen. And the preview of WrestleMania we're going to have on Google Hangouts, a.k.a. YouTube, which I was supposed to do the YouTube show today. So I apologize for that because I'm on a different laptop. But WFSO Radio Network is going to be pretty busy for the next week. So hopefully y'all tune in. And like I said, thank y'all for listening. I appreciate every single person that listening. Thank you very much. And you guys have a good week. And hopefully y'all listen to Clapback again this Saturday. Until then, this is Artrell. Clapback, everyone.